Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we begin our commentaries to a few of the verses of Quran chapter 11. The name of that chapter is the Book of Hud. And Hud is a prophet, which I can say an invented prophet by Muhammad for a specific people who are the people of Hud. Wow, we know the name of the prophet to be Hud, and we know his people to be the people of Hud. That make it a true account, as Muslims claim. When in reality, there was no prophet by the name Hud, and there are no people called the people of Hud. And we can easily prove that by simply asking few questions. And trust me, not only the gullible Muslim believers will not give us an answer, but not even those who are so-called the scholars of Islam. Like, when did Prophet Hud come to this world? Where did Prophet Hud exist? What about the book of Prophet Hud? What was the major message of the prophecy of Prophet Hud? And I can go on and on with 50 more questions. And trust me, the answer for all these questions is simply only Allah knows. So in reality, Hud is simply an imaginary prophet by Muhammad to all the naive people who believe that Muhammad is a prophet. Because how do we know Prophet Muhammad was a prophet? Well, because he told us about Prophet Hud, a prophet who never exists. Now, Quran chapter 11, like Quran chapter 10, is a Makki chapter. As a matter of fact, the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalalayn told us that that chapter came immediately after the book of Yunus, he meant Jonah, which we concluded in our last broadcast. Now, Quran chapter 11 includes 123 verses. Notice the entire chapter is Makki except three verses. And these are verse 12, verse 17, and verse 114. These three verses were given to Muhammad later in Medina. Once again, the chapter starts with the amazing, with a word of three letters, which is Alr in English, A-L-R. And I love it how the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalalayn told us only Allah knows what he meant by these three letters. Now I want to look at a few of the verses of Quran chapter 11 to do some commentaries work. And then maybe, Lord's willing, we'll cover this miraculous three verses which Allah added to that chapter a few years later. As if there is something really important in them. That's why Allah added these verses to that body of 120 verses. For now we know, after we add these three verses, that chapter is 123 verses. Believe me, my friend, if I will read that Quran out of the Quran, what I mean by that is, if I would pick up the material which is written in that chapter and read it separate from the Quran to any logical person, anybody who reads that chapter will be laughing because it is, once again, a redundant, ridiculous chapter in the Quran with many errors. And where we find the errors is very simple. When we know that that subject which Muhammad is talking about in these verses comes out of another book, which is the book of the Bible, as we'll see a little bit later when we talk about the story of Noah and the story of Abraham, the story of Lot. And we go back again to the story of Moses. Don't forget the other stories which Muhammad invented, especially concerning Prophet Hud and his people, and Prophet Ad and his people, and Prophet Saleh and his people, and Prophet Shaib and his people. So what Muhammad did is exactly learn a good lesson about these biblical stories, which we call biblical accounts, and he somehow used his imagination, or I do not know, maybe somebody helped him to make up some stories like that which read in the Bible. Except, once again, when you read his invented stories, you will not see any evidence of its true existence. I'm talking about from the reading of the Quran. Muhammad did not give us hardly any information about those people. So, we do not know anything about these prophets. We do not know anything about their people. We do not know where, when, and how this story began and how it really ended. And what is really important to know that these are made up stories by Muhammad, that there is not any archaeological or historical evidence of such people whom Muhammad invented in his Quran. So obviously, with a simple logic or common sense, anyone who reads that chapter will figure out these are just made up stories. For heaven's sake, when Muhammad talks about the biblical stories, if you just read it in the Quran, you will know for sure it's made up. Why? Because Muhammad did not copy the entirety, the information, the data, the verses which talk about the details of these stories from the Bible. He just simply picked up the name Abraham or the name Noah or the name Moses, and he mentioned few verses here and there in the Quran to make up his poetry. So the logical thing, you could not understand even the true biblical accounts in the stories of the Quran because there is not enough information there. The only way we can understand what Muhammad copied from the Bible is very simple. We have to go back to the Bible and read the entirety of these stories. Or maybe you have to read Muslim scholars' interpretation, which is not interpretation, as we always emphasize on that. It was simply fabrication or adding a little bit more information from the Bible to that which Muhammad already copied 1450 years ago. Let's begin our study today by looking at that which is written in Quran chapter 11 and verse 9. For there we read, "And if we cause the human to taste mercy from us, then take it away from him. Surely he is despairing infidel." What Allah is talking about? He's talking about just general talk. If Allah will give some human, some people, mercy, and then he removes that mercy from those people, they will become very despairing and they will become infidels. Wow, that must be a very important verse. Without it, we could not have the entirety of the holiness of the Quran. Let's continue with verse 10. "And if we make him taste grace after harm has touched him, he will surely say, 'The evils are passed away from me. Surely he is joyful, proud.'" Wait a minute. Is Muhammad repeating himself? Because if I'm going to write a poetry, if I'm going to write a story, I'll say, if we give some human mercy and take it away, he's upset, he's infidel. And if took his evil away and give him goodness, then he'll be happy. No. That's not what Muhammad said. He's just setting words in verses to make the poetry of the Quran with the same message. Because the first one, in verse 9, Allah gave human a taste of mercy, and then he removed that mercy from him. Now the human become despairing and infidel. In verse 10, Allah allowed some human to taste grace after harm. And guess what? That human would say, "Wow, evil has passed away from me. Surely he is joyful, proud." What is the message? What is the story? Who is the human? Somebody can give us help? Of course, we can go to Muslim scholars' interpretation and we'll read nothing but fabrication. And when we go to the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalalayn, for example, who always gave us the short answer, he actually almost repeats the same words of the verse to make it more readable, I believe, in the Arabic language. But what is the message of these two verses? I do not see anything important at all. Was Allah, the God of Muhammad, play games with people? Gives them mercy, then he removed it from them to see how they will react to it? Gives them grace after he gives them the hard time to see how they react to it? To make the story worse, let's move on to Quran chapter 11, verse 10. And here is the verse start with the word except. Except what? Except those who were patient and did good deeds, those have forgiveness and a big wage. Excuse me, what? Yes, that's what you heard. Which means actually Allah in the Quran teach Muslim people that forgiveness is a result of patience and good works. So verses 9 and 10 did not give us any specific message, and verse 11 gave us false information about how to receive forgiveness from Allah. Except those who were patient and did good deeds, those have forgiveness and big wages. There is not enough patience. There is not enough good deeds any human can do to receive forgiveness for his sin. The Bible is very clear. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. There is not one biblical verse anywhere, Old Testament or New Testament, where we learn about if you be patient enough, then Allah will forgive you of your sin. That's not how we receive forgiveness of sin. If that was the case, why did we have all the sacrifices in the Old Testament? And why did Jesus die on the cross? Maybe just God will tell the old prophets, tell your people, be patient and do good deeds. If you do that, you receive forgiveness for your sins.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Now let us continue by reading Quran chapter 11, verse 12. And here we see that Allah is speaking directly to Muhammad. As he said to him, so perhaps you are leaving some of what is being revealed to you and your chest is stressed by it. That they say, were it not that a kinz, a non-Arabic word from Persian or Aramaic origin, which means treasure, were it not that a treasure had been sent down on him or an angel came with him, surely you are only a warner, and Allah is guardian over all things. Here we see Allah is rebuking Muhammad. What are you doing, Muhammad? Are you going to leave some of the verses which I have given to you in this great book, the book of the Quran, and you're not going to tell it to the people? You're not going to reveal to them and warn them as I have commanded you in the verses of the Quran? Why? Because you don't have any evidence that you're a prophet? You don't have any proofs that you're a prophet? And Allah obviously knows that two challenges which has been given to Muhammad by these Arabs whom he lived with in Mecca. The first challenge, he wanted to be rich. He wanted to have some treasure. People do not want to follow a poor prophet who have nothing. The second challenge is that he will prove that he is from Allah and Allah is the real God who sent him as a messenger to all this Arab assembly being supported by some angel. If he will have an angel to support his message, then they will believe in him. No money and no other evidence that he's a prophet like having an angel. Maybe some people think that a little bit exaggerating from the Arab. No, it's not. Because what Muslims do not understand about Islam and Muhammad, that it is the only religion, it is the only ideology spread by the words of one man without a second witness. I mean, how do we know that Muhammad has seen an angel? Oh, because his wife Khadija told us about the test she have performed on him when he saw his angel. Notice, Khadija did not see the angel. It was Muhammad who saw the angel. And Khadija testifies that he is the true prophet of Allah. He is the true messenger of Allah because the angel left the room when she made herself naked. And when she covered herself, the angel showed back in the room. Excuse me, Khadija did not see the angel, only Muhammad saw Jibreel. How do we know that that Jibreel is not Satan? As the scripture foretold that even Satan can appear as an angel of light. So what is the evidence that Muhammad is a prophet? We just take him for his word? Because he said so, we have to believe him? That's exactly what Muslims have been doing for the last 1400 years. No miracle. He's not rich. He could not come up with some treasure. He could not bring an angel to prove to the Arab at the time that he was actually sent by Allah. But they have to believe in him. Now, if you examine the life of Muhammad, you will find that he was not but a sinful man. As you may have heard me so many times in the past, I repeat myself. Muhammad was simply a very sinful man like everybody else in Mecca. There is no difference between Muhammad's life and any other sinful people. And somehow they're just going to believe in him to be a prophet, even though his Quran is loaded with errors and contradictions, as we have seen in the previous 100 broadcasts so far in the study, and as we're going to see in the next 100 broadcasts. And all it takes is one program, 20 minutes, where I share 3 or 4 errors, that will be enough to end the propaganda of Muhammad, the prophet of Allah and the messenger of Allah. Don't forget, all the prophets who came before Muhammad, they performed miracles and they prove in their life that they are sent by God. And that's why people believed in them, not only through their teaching, but even through their actions. Muslims always claim that the Quran is the perfect word of Allah. And I love it how the people in Muhammad days challenge him with simple things he need to do to prove to them that he is a prophet from God. Like that in the case of Moses or any other prophets in the Old Testament. They have evidence shown clearly that they are true messengers, true prophets from God. There's not one prophet in the Bible who did not prophesy, because that's exactly why we call them prophet, because they give prophecy. They tell about the future. And the Bible is very clear. If their prophecy is not fulfilled, then they are false prophets. And even if the prophecy is fulfilled, but they desire to lead the people to worship any other god except the God of the Bible, they are also still false prophets. Muhammad is the only prophet humanity ever heard of who came without any evidence that he's a prophet. He has zero prophecy, and somehow he is a great prophet. But Muslims will tell you, no. You don't understand. Muhammad came with the greatest miracle of his days, the Quran. You see, yes, Moses performed miracles because in his days, people used to do miracles, the sorceries. And so in Jesus' days, Jesus performed miracles because in his days, there were people who did some miracles similar to that which Jesus did. So Allah gave Isa, the son of Mary, miracles, gave Moses miracles to really prove who they are in the perfect time of their days with the right miracle, which is the miraculous things. Muhammad, on the other hand, came at the time where poetry and the writing of poetry was there. And that's why Allah gave Muhammad the greatest proof that he is a prophet, because he brought to us, the Muslims, the best thing to prove he is a prophet, which is the Quran itself. That's why we have the bold statement before verse 13 of Quran chapter 11. The Quran is the word of Allah because no human can write anything that good. I can't help but to laugh when I hear Muslims say that, because obviously they never read anything else. Maybe that's only thing they know about books or material or writing. It is the Quran. Have they read what Shakespeare wrote in the English language in his poetry, they would have believed in Prophet Shakespeare, peace be upon him. Have they read the poetry of Voltaire, the French poets, they will also would have accepted him and believed in him to be the greatest prophet of all. But neither Shakespeare or Voltaire ever claimed to be prophets from God because of their beautiful poetry in the English or in the French language. And by the way, there are plenty of Christian Arabs who wrote many chapters better than that which we read in the Quran. At least their writing was free of error. Like Al-Furqan Al-Haq, large-size book of poetry written almost in the same style of the Quran with the true message of Christianity. And no Muslim bothered to read it because have they read it, they figure out there are those who took the challenge of Allah and Muhammad in the Quran to say that, yes, we can write better than the Quran and we are not prophets at all. And by that, we can destroy the claim that Muhammad is a prophet just because of his beautiful poetry. Here is what Allah said in Quran chapter 11 and verse 13. Or they say, he has forged it. Forged what? Forged the Quran. Say, so bring 10 forged portions of a revelation like it and call on whom you can rather than Allah if you were truthful. So if they did not answer to you, so know that it is only sent down by Allah's knowledge and that there is no God except Him. So are you Muslims? The question of Allah to Muhammad in the Quran. Are you submitters? Are you giving up of calling Muhammad not a true prophet and that he forged the Quran? My dear friends, anyone who reads the Quran, who have some access to the biblical account, as we're going to be seeing in our next broadcast, as we'll be talking about Noah in the Quran, you will see 100% the Quran is a forged book. There is no way that any person who will read the Bible and read the Quran in all the stories which Muhammad copied from the Bible, unless he or she will know for certain, without any doubt, that the Quran is a forged book. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.